Venezuela's nuclear arsenal shrinks as U.S. removes weapons-grade material. The U.S. government extracted 13.5 kilograms of highly enriched uranium from Venezuelan soil in April 2026, the fastest nuclear material removal operation the National Nuclear Security Administration says it has ever conducted, and the timing tells institutional investors something the press release does not. Washington is clearing proliferation liabilities in its own hemisphere at speed, precisely because it is managing active nuclear-adjacent conflict 8,000 kilometers away. Between April 18 and April 29, the U.S. Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration completed the removal of all enriched uranium from the former RV-1 research reactor at Venezuela's Instituto Venezolano de Investigaciones Científicas, IVIC, located in Miranda State. The material, enriched above the 20% threshold that separates low-enriched from highly enriched uranium, had sat dormant since the reactor ceased operations in 1991 and received formal IAEA closure in 1997. Operators packaged the material into a spent fuel cask, transported it overland approximately 160 kilometers to the port of Puerto Cabello, and loaded it onto a specialized vessel operated by British firm Nuclear Transport Solutions, which delivered it to the Savannah River site in South Carolina for conversion into high-assay low-enriched uranium, HALEU. NNSA Administrator Brandon Williams stated that the removal sends another signal to the world of a restored and renewed Venezuela, crediting the speed of the operation to what he described as decisive executive leadership. The operation was coordinated with the United Kingdom, the IAEA, and Venezuela's transitional government under interim President Delcy Rodriguez. The broader significance extends past the reactor. This mission is one component of a three-phase plan that the Trump administration and Secretary of State Marco Rubio designed for Venezuela following the capture of Nicolás Maduro in January 2026. Energy Secretary Chris Wright visited Caracas in February to establish the operational groundwork. Venezuela is, in effect, being repositioned from geopolitical liability to reconstruction opportunity, and the uranium removal is the most visible security precondition for that repositioning. The RV-1 backstory, from atoms for peace to proliferation. Footnote: the RV-1 reactor has a lineage that matters for context. Designed by Venezuelan scientist Humberto Fernandez Moran, the reactor reached criticality in 1960 under U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower's Atoms for Peace program, which contributed $300,000 toward its construction. It was among the first research reactors in Latin America. The facility ceased operations in 1991 and was converted into a gamma-ray sterilization plant for medical and industrial use after formal IAEA closure in 1997. What changed the risk calculus was a January 3, 2026 U.S. military strike during what Venezuelan sources described as Operation Absolute Resolution, which hit approximately 50 meters from the former reactor. According to IVIC director Alberto Quintero, cited by news agency AFE at the time, the bombing damaged the institute's electrical grid and partially affected its mathematics, physics, chemistry, and ecology centers, as well as its nuclear technology unit. Venezuela's Foreign Minister Ivan Gil issued a statement on May 7 framing the April extraction as a response to that risk escalation, noting that Venezuela had long been requesting such an operation and that the January strike objectively raised the level of risk and confirmed the urgency. The transitional government's framing and the NNSA's framing differ. Washington emphasizes speed as a policy achievement. Caracas emphasizes that the urgency was partly Washington's own creation. For institutional investors, that ambiguity is itself a data point. The transitional government is cooperating with Washington while simultaneously preserving diplomatic distance. That is the behavior of a government that needs U.S. capital and security guarantees but is managing domestic legitimacy. Gulf conflict as the accelerant. Why April 2026 was not a coincidence. The NNSA completed this operation while U.S. forces were simultaneously managing an active conflict in the Persian Gulf. A fragile ceasefire in the U.S.-Israel war on Iran took effect on April 8, the same window in which the Venezuela operation ran. As of May 10, that ceasefire was under active strain. Qatar reported a drone strike on a cargo ship in its waters, Kuwait and the UAE intercepted drone attacks, and the UAE's defense ministry confirmed two Iranian UAVs launched from Iran were shot down. The Strait of Hormuz, through which a fifth of globally traded oil transited before the conflict, remains contested. The U.S. has imposed a blockade of Iranian ports, and Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy has publicly warned that any attack on Iranian oil tankers would trigger a heavy assault on U.S. bases and allied vessels in the region. Critical risk, the convergence of an active Gulf naval conflict, a contested Hormuz passage, and simultaneous U.S. nuclear material recovery operations in Latin America represents a multi-theater nuclear-adjacent risk environment with no post-Cold War precedent. Institutional portfolios with energy, shipping, and EM fixed income exposure face correlated tail risk that standard asset class models do not price. The Venezuela operation did not happen in a vacuum. It happened while the U.S. national security apparatus was stretched across two hemispheres. The NNSA completed it in 11 days. The agency's own statement says a comparable operation would normally take years. That compression of timeline reflects political prioritization at the highest level, and it signals that the Trump administration views Venezuelan stabilization as urgent enough to run in parallel with Gulf operations. Venezuela reconstruction, the capital formation question, the uranium removal is a precondition, not a catalyst. But it is a measurable precondition. Institutional capital does not return to post-conflict or post-sanctions environments on the basis of political statements. It returns when physical security liabilities are retired and when legal frameworks for investment exist. The NNSA operation retires one specific liability. The three-phase U.S. plan for Venezuela, with energy groundwork laid by Secretary Wright in February, suggests additional framework construction is underway. Venezuela holds the world's largest proved crude oil reserves by OPRIVATE Equitix own accounting, a figure established in prior year's data. The country's oil sector operated under PDVSA with capacity that collapsed under Maduro-era mismanagement and U.S. sanctions. A transitional government with U.S. backing and active infrastructure cooperation with British nuclear logistics firms is a materially different counterparty than the Maduro government. The conversion of the recovered HALEU into HALEU at the Savannah River site is not a trivial detail. HALEU is a fuel source for advanced nuclear reactors, including the small modular reactor designs that the U.S. Department of Energy has actively funded. The material recovered from Venezuela will, in effect, become future American nuclear fuel. That is an economic transaction embedded inside a nonproliferation operation. What the Hormuz-Caracas axis means for EM portfolio construction, the simultaneous management of Gulf energy disruption and Latin American nuclear material removal forces a portfolio-level question. How correlated are these risks, and are they priced? The Hormuz conflict has already disrupted the passage of approximately one-fifth of globally traded oil. Gulf shipping insurers and energy traders have repriced that risk. Latin American sovereign spreads have not moved on the Venezuela news in any way that public data confirms as significant, suggesting the market is treating these as separate events. Our view, they are not separate. The speed of the Venezuela operation reflects a U.S. government that is allocating national security bandwidth across hemispheres simultaneously. The more bandwidth consumed by the Gulf, the more the Venezuela reconstruction timeline depends on local transitional government stability rather than sustained U.S. attention. Interim President Delcy Rodriguez's government issued a statement that simultaneously cooperated with and distanced itself from Washington. That is not the posture of a government with consolidated domestic authority. The Plaquemines view the market is pricing Venezuela as a binary: either reconstruction begins and energy assets re-rate, or political instability returns and the transition fails. The uranium removal suggests a third scenario that receives insufficient attention: partial reconstruction, where physical security liabilities are retired and select sectors, energy, port infrastructure, nuclear conversion, attract capital, while political risk remains elevated enough to suppress broad FDI. The HALEU conversion angle is the undercovered investment thread. The recovered Venezuelan uranium enters the U.S. advanced reactor fuel supply chain at a moment when domestic HALEU production capacity is a recognized bottleneck for the SMR buildout. The Savannah River site, as the processing destination, sits within an established U.S. nuclear industrial complex. The British firm Nuclear Transport Solutions executed the maritime leg of this operation. That is a European nuclear logistics operator with demonstrated capability in politically sensitive sovereign extractions. As other legacy research reactor sites in Latin America and Africa contain similar surplus HALEU inventories from the Atoms for Peace era, Nuclear Transport Solutions and comparable firms face a structural demand pipeline, not a one-off contract. For private equity and infrastructure funds with energy transition mandates, the Venezuela operation is a precedent setter. It demonstrates that HALEU removal from a non-cooperative turned cooperative sovereign can be completed in 11 days once political alignment exists. The next analogous operation, wherever it occurs, will be benchmarked against this timeline. The Gulf conflict complicates this. If Hormuz remains partially closed and oil prices stay elevated, the economic incentive to unlock Venezuelan crude production accelerates. High oil prices make Venezuelan barrels more valuable and increase the IRR threshold at which reconstruction investment makes sense despite political risk. The two crises are, in this framing, inversely related in terms of investment urgency. The worse the Gulf gets, the faster the Venezuela reconstruction trade moves up the priority queue. The bottom line: the uranium is gone, the legal and physical framework for Venezuelan re-engagement is being assembled piece by piece, and the Gulf conflict is making Venezuelan barrels more valuable by the week. Institutional capital that waits for full political resolution will pay the premium. Capital that prices the transition trajectory now, with appropriate risk waiting for Rodriguez government durability, positions ahead of the re-rating.